Hari Ho Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahabhiryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so now we've gone through all the introductions to all the four books. These main books, these are the, Prabhupada gives these as the basis of the philosophy, basis of everything, that by studying the Bhagavad Gita, Nectar Devotion, the Shupanishad, Upadeshamrita, then you'll have a strong foundation in all the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, right? So that philosophy is given in the Bhagavad Gita, that's complete, but the expansion on that, the devotional practices and all that, then that is given in Nectar Devotion, right? Which is supported by the Upadeshamrita, and the Gita then is supported by the Ishopanishad. So, with this then we have established these principles that are there, that then, here. The spirit in which the Gita should be approached, or at least the Shastra should be approached in general. The purpose of the Gita. The subject matter of the Gita. The process of understanding the Gita. The result of understanding the knowledge presented, going back to Godhead. And how to practically apply this knowledge to attain the desired results. So as we discussed, is the philosophy can always be broken down into the basic formula of sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. This is because this is the building materials of everything, right? Krishna is sat chit ananda. Right? And so everything coming from him is going to be based on this. Right? The internal potency is going to be Satchitananda. The jivas is Satchitananda. The material energy is the opposite of Satchitananda. It's not the opposite of something else. So everything goes back to this. So these elements, then this sad establishes sambandha, relationship, because eternality means what is actually the eternal basis. What is actually there eternally? What are you dealing with? Right? Your chit, your knowledge, that's your action. Right? Because otherwise, if you're not discriminating, discrimination means to do something. You discriminate, don't do anything. That's not intelligent. Right? And ananda means then the results of activities, that happiness that is experienced, that is shared. Does this make sense? So, therefore, your sambandha abhideya prayojana, your process, your relationship, your process, and your results. So everything can be put into these three. It's not that this is one of the ways of looking at it. It is the exclusive way of looking at it. Every other way of looking at it is an expansion of this. Does that make sense? Everything else is related to this. Like that. So in this way, from this, you're going to get basically, you know, but you'll always see in the philosophy a breakdown of 1, 2, 3, or 4. 1, we only use it occasionally, is that Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, one without a second. He's the origin of everything, this and that. So it's just him. Right? Because he is everything. Everything's expanding from him. But still, that basis of Satchitananda is still there. That's sambandha abhideya and prayojana. It's just all together. It's not manifest. Right? Then he expands his creation. So then you're going to get 2. So many times in explanations, you'll just have two aspects. So then you're dealing with sambandha and prayojana. So you're explaining the position of both, right? One explains his position, two explains his position and his energy's position, right? When you're dealing with three, that's explaining how he and his energies are interacting, right? Does that make sense? So sambandha and prayojana, how they come together, that's abhideya, right? Then, if you get into want to get more finer detail, you know, in the philosophy, then the sambandha has two parts, right? So the one part that is the actual facts of the situation, and the other is the actual emotions that are involved with that situation. You understand? So at that time, then you're dealing with these fine points of the feelings and everything else. It's still sambandha abhideya prayojana, still three aspects, but you're taking the first as two, so you end up with four. Does this make sense? Right. So everything's going to come back to this. We're always going to be relating back to the philosophy into these points, not something else. So here then we see is that the sambandha is the knowledge of everything. So that means it would include everything else. So it has to establish its own position. It has to establish the position of the process, and it has to establish the position of the result. Right? So that means the sambandha it has itself inherently two parts. Right? Then one part for abhideya, one part for prayojana. So that means the sambandha is fully established when you explain four things. You understand? We see this connection like this. The idea is that if you can always keep it to this, you'll never be confused, never be bewildered. You'll never think, why is this here? Or this is something different. This is the difficulty. Devotees know so many things. But the question is do they put them together? Do they connect them? That's where the thing comes. Because otherwise, whatever we're talking in these classes, it's not something technically that you haven't heard before. Right? We're reading the same introduction. We're reading the same purports. But the difference is these connections are being made. Right? And because of that, it appears to be different. When actually it's not. The difference is, we haven't looked at it that way, or haven't thought of it that way. Does that make sense? So vichar means how to look at the philosophy from different angles. So that means you're looking at the same philosophy, you're just looking at different aspects of it to bring out these different parts. Because otherwise it's one philosophy. There's Krishna. There's only one topic. Right? But because Krishna is unlimited, therefore this topic has unlimited aspects. Right? Isn't it? Like that. So that's it's amazing how many tractors can be on one road and only move like 2 feet at a time or something. You think they just drive past. The worst is the bulldozer. It moves about 1 centimeter a second, you know, kind of like that. Just, you know, it sounds like the tractor's coming here. Oh, these guys. Okay. You know, it's just like when you're doing something, when you make more noise, you feel more is getting done. So they do the same thing. You know, you push up. Then you really think something's happening, right? You know, you do the same thing without making noise. So the same thing. Unless they rev it up, they don't feel the dirt's falling out of the truck. So it has nothing to do with it, but it makes them feel good. Okay. So here are these four parts. Then the spirit in which Gita should be approached, the purpose of Gita, the subject matter, the process. So we see here is that the spirit in which the Gita should be approached and the subject matter. So in sambandha, you're looking at the subject matter is, you know, what is the facts and figures about it? What it is dealing with, right? that's establishing the actual field of activities here, right? So we're dealing with this knowledge of Gita. So the field of activities is the subject matter of the Gita, right? Now, to be involved, once you that is established, that will naturally invoke a spirit, a particular mood, right? That's the second point within the two, right? So that will be the second thing. Then you're dealing with, well, what is the fourth one? Then the process of understanding, that is then the knowledge of the Abhideya. And then the purpose of the Gita, that will be the knowledge of the Prayojana. Right? But you'll notice how that they do this. This is very, very important. Right? These aren't arbitrary. It means depending on the situation, who you're dealing with, you adjust it in different ways. But these orders aren't just arbitrary. That's why it's learned in that way. Just like, what, books are the basis, preaching is the essence, utility is the principle, purity is the force. You use it in that order, it means one thing. You change the order, you change actually what you're presenting. Right? Because books are the basis, so that's the first thing. Everything's based on the books. Right? Now, the essence of those books is preaching. Right? Now, to preach, we can utilize anything in that process. And to be able to actually utilize everything is based on purity. You know what I'm saying? That establishes. But I see so many times devotees change the order. It actually technically subtly changes the meaning. They'll go, preaching is the essence. Books are the basis. Because that means then the preaching becomes the main thing, but then what's its authority? Books are the basis, but it doesn't come out so much. So that means it's more just whatever I feel like preaching. That's the thing. I'll use the books for that. You know what I'm saying? And generally they'll put they'll move purity up because purity sounds more, moralistic, you know, ethical and all that. So generally it's moved up a bit, you know. So it changes the flavor of it. You understand? So that's why it's important. So now if we're going to approach the Gita, then naturally is then someone in the Vedic knowledge, they study the knowledge because it's something they want to know. Having studied it, they become inspired in it. Right? Then they, you know, and they're inspired. Why? Because they see the goal. And from seeing the goal, they're willing to work. Right? Does that make sense? But now, in here, because you're dealing, Gita is dealing with who? Gita is for, it's the first book. Yes, it's for conditioned soul, but it's for someone who has not necessarily accepted Krishna consciousness. Right? So the first thing you have to do is establish the spirit, that interest in it. If there's no interest, there's nothing. Then from there, you go to the purpose, the goal. So already you've gone in on the emotional platform, not the intellectual platform. Though intelligence is there in spirit. Right? Means spirit only works because you've discriminated in the subject matter and decided, yeah, I like this. I can identify with this. But it's not the active, the dynamic active principle. Right? So then only after that, then we get down to the subject matter. Once you're impressed by, this is inspiring, yeah, this is, has a nice goal, I could get into this, then the subject matter is given. Right? Then only after knowing the subject matter can you understand how to apply it. If we try to explain how to apply it, you don't know the subject matter, it won't work. Right? Just like in seventh grade. How many nice essays come out of the class project there when the teacher tells you, oh, just take something, like, just how you feel and inspired. Because what? They've never taught you how to do this. They've never showed you the science of writing. In fact, they probably will never show you the science of writing. When you get to, you know, into university, then they'll start. Somehow they just think it's just by that mood and that, then everything will happen. But they never teach you. So they try to go inspire you in it and go immediately to the process. And they leave out actually what's the goal. No kid knows, why do I have to write this essay? They have no idea. You know, it doesn't mean nothing to them. It's just something that's going to ruin their weekend. That's all. You know, that's it. That's the only thing they know. You know, so they try to invoke this spirit, which is not really there, because the teacher themselves is not a writer. They may appreciate it, but they don't write. So how are they going to inspire? Right? It's a job, right? Those ones that do inspire you, that's because that's what they do or they like to do. So remember, out of those 12 years of school or 20 years of school, how many teachers you remember? 2, 3? Yeah, that's it. Why? Because they're the ones that are doing what they're teaching. It's that simple. That's all. All the other ones, it's a job. They may like their job, but it's a job. So those two you remember, those are the ones that it's more than a job. Because they do have that spirit. They do know the subject. They do have all these things. So that's why you take something from them. But otherwise, you don't. Because it's just a job. So they do their job, you do your job. Right? You write the essay, you just do just what you have to do, and they're just doing just what they have. That's what you learn from them. This is the unspoken part of the educational system. Right? That's why in the Vedic system, those who are doing something, they taught. There was no such thing as just a position of teacher who did nothing. It didn't exist. You know, the guy sits in some chair somewhere or defends his chair somewhere. And, you know, that's it. That's good enough. No, we see always these personalities. They were doing things. They could do something practical, but within their area, but they could do it. You know, they're always off, you know, going on. That's what happens in the stories. Always the strange twist in the stories happens because the teacher is off doing some yajna somewhere. Right? That's when then Rishi Sringa is left alone, and then, you know, they send all the girls in, you know, as dressed up as brahmacharis to encourage him to come back to their kingdom. Right? So all these things happen because he's away. Why? Because he's doing something. Right? Astavakra, why is he become known? Is that his father is teaching philosophy, right? And while he's in the womb, his mother would sit there and listen. But he learned within the womb what his father was teaching, right? And then one day, father said something, and then a comment came, no, it's not like that, it's like this. It's kind of like, where did that come from? You know, the students, you know, I didn't say it, you know, turns wife, I didn't say it. Then they figured out it was the kid in the womb, right? So his father got angry, you know, and cursed him that, you know, because you're saying that this is not right, crooked, so you'll be bent in 8 places. So he was born like that. But his father then was doing a yajna for Varuna. Like that. It didn't appear that way. It appeared he went to this one kingdom, and the head priest there. Then he was arguing with everybody, and if he defeated them, they would get drowned in the ocean. So then, you know, when he grew up, then he found out this is what happened to his father. Because otherwise, he was living in the house, and I think the grandfather was there. He thought he was the father, and one day it figured out he's not the father. He's a grandfather. So he asked what happened to his father. So he found out. So then he, at 8 years old, took his friend. They went into the kingdom, right? You know, marching down the road. The king was out on procession, coming the other way. They're right in the middle of the road, you know. And so then, you know, one of the, you know, organizers of the, you know, one of the officers of the army comes out and says, you know, my dear Brown, please move aside. The king's coming, like that. And so, you know, they didn't just send anybody. They came out themselves personally to say it because they were Brahmins. They may have been kids, but they were Brahmins. But then he said, why we should move? The road belongs to the Brahmins. You know, the king wants to use our road. He has to ask us. You know, so the general didn't know what to say, went back to the king. And the king thought, okay, these guys got, you know, some panache here, you know, some chutzpah. So then they the king got off his, you know, his chariot, and that came down, and then asked the Brahmins what they wanted. We said, we want to debate with your you know, head priest, you know, the court pundit. And because the king knew that whoever was defeated got drowned in the ocean, he thought, you know, why these kids should go through that. And so he tried to refuse, and they said, okay, we're standing here. You know, you want to go in procession, you go around, you know. You know, it's like that, you know, like in New York, you know. This is our block. You go around. You know, walk around the block. So, you know, so it's always been there. It just has its natural forms. Like that. The other is the perverted form. This is the natural form, right? So then they agreed. He went. and he argued with the pundit. He defeated him. Like that, then they were saying, so what should happen? So then it was all decided, so he should be drowned in the ocean. So then they all went down to the ocean. When they got to the ocean, then he revealed, actually, he's the son of Varuna. All the priests, all the Brahmins that were drowned, didn't actually drown. They threw him in the water, and then all of Varuna's men were waiting there, and they escorted him to the kingdom. They were doing a 12-year sacrifice. So the sacrifice was up just at that time, and then Astavakra's father and everybody else, all the other Brahmins came out of the water. You know, Varuna came himself, all that. So it was a whole thing. So how do you get into the story? Nice story, man. Yeah. So we see is here is that you know the father wasn't just someone who just sat and that's all. He studied some academics, and his only service into society is he can make more academics. You know. Does that make sense? So that's what does that mean? You know, you teach so that you can teach others so they can just teach. And what does anybody do? Right? The occupation is that of a teacher, but that teacher has to be able to create something. Right? But what teacher is creating something? When you finish high school, have they taught you anything you can go out and make a livelihood with? No. If you go to regular, medical, law, engineering, some of these are specific. But the general, have they taught you how to do something? No. Only now a bit, when the universities are being taken over and controlled and owned by businessmen, then they make it where you have to put in a lot of time in the business so that actually when you do graduate, you do know something. But who is doing that? Vaishyas. Not Brahmins. You understand? Just because they want to see good business. Not that they care about your actual education and all that. So it's not that they make the Brahmins independent. No, the Brahmins are dependent upon the Vaishyas. You understand? So there's nothing practical taught or learned. Right? They'll say, oh, but we teach you how to think and this and that. Great, but do they actually teach you how to think? Right? Critical analysis, but critical analysis of what? Anything that's standard and authoritative. Do they have you critically analyze their system? Whether they're qualified to actually be sitting there in that seat? No, but any other authority they'll criticize. Right? You understand? So it's very subjective. It's not objective. This whole thing, it's an illusion that modern education is objective. So this whole idea that is there is what is the use of it? What does it do? They themselves aren't doing it. Someone else has to take it and do something with it. Some Kshatriya, some Vaishya takes whatever knowledge they have and does something with it. Otherwise they don't do. You understand? So the point is that it must be practical. It has to be applied. So, therefore, then that knowledge has to come in. You have to get the knowledge of how it applies, not just, just the common thing is that, the kid goes to the father, and in this difficult situation, I have to do that, what am I supposed to do? And then the father in his wisdom says, no one can tell you what to do. You have to work it out yourself. Right, and then the music swells and the camera pulls back and it's somehow that was a great revelation. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the guy's in ignorance, somehow or another got through it, and some by the modes of nature, they think, well, it's just that no, you're gonna survive anyway. You wanna die, but you don't have the good karma to die. You're gonna have to suffer. So you're not gonna get through it. You will get through it because you're meant to suffer more. Does that make sense? So it's not that it happened. So everybody's busy making plans, and when they can't do anything, then they stop making these plans because they see they can. But at no time do they turn to God and surrender to God. So this is a surat. Right? So the point is here is that therefore your activities connect them to God. Everything becomes connected to God. So your inspiration becomes connected to God. Your goals in life become connected to God. The knowledge that you base all your activities on is connected to God, and the activities themselves. So all these four. Does that make sense? So that knowledge, that's the first thing given. Right? So when you have the Spirit, so when the Spirit is there, by contemplating that, then it naturally turns into purpose. Right? Once that's there, now you have to go back and learn the knowledge. Right? And then having none of the knowledge, you'll apply it. So it's very, very practical. When you preach, this is what you have to establish.
So that would be Prajumna, then Aniruddha, then
Sankarshan. Then Vasudev. Yeah. Like that. So this is what had dealing with someone who knows nothing. Right? So that works very nicely. Otherwise, the logical is you deal with the subject matter, then you're going to deal with the spirit, right? Then the process, then the result. Or if you're dealing with the mind there, then you're going to deal with the subject matter, the spirit, the purpose, then the process, right? So does that make sense? So it's always going to, so Samanda, touch on Prayojana, then Abhideya, then by performing it, then you get the Prayojana. The mind wants to touch on the Prayojana first. You know, it's just like before you sit at the meal, you want to know, you know, what's the sweet, you know, so you want to know how much you should eat more of this or less of this, you know, like that. It touches on what's there, then, you know, what will you get? Then it'll come back and actually do it. So when we say the mind is working Sambandha Prayojana Abhideya, it doesn't mean the Prayojana is obtained. You can't obtain it without Abhideya. Right? Does that make sense? But it's still the mind has to be satisfied where it's going. Because it has to accept and reject. The senses act only because the mind, engages them. The intelligence doesn't engage the senses. The intelligence control is in the mechanics by which the senses work. So the senses are dependent upon intelligence. Right? Yes.
This is like when you hear when somebody first comes
more loudly.
You hear when somebody first comes to Krishna consciousness and Krishna gives them a taste.
Yes, a taste. Yeah, that's the whole thing. There's a taste. There's that inspiration. Right? And if you keep it that dynamism, you can keep that taste. Because you have to remember is that yesterday you weren't doing anything to do with Krishna. Today you are. So the difference between that's very great, right? So it's just like in anything, the profits and the difference, right? So if you're trying to improve your Krishna consciousness, you know, dynamically you can keep up with it. But if it becomes just, you know, natural, practical, you know, just day-to-day, you know, kind of thing, then the difference between where you're at and what you're trying to do is very little. Right, because it's not that the person who joins new is Krishna conscious. They're as conditioned as they come. But that in mental endeavor that they want to take that up, that's the point. So it's, one could say, well, you know, but how much can... No, but as you go, you have more and more understanding. So you could keep farther and farther. You can make the difference greater. You understand? But we don't. We just sit back and take it as natural and normal. And so then where is the difference? Right? The difference isn't in our sadhana, the difference is in issues. So that's where the taste lies. Right? So you can jump up and down and yell and scream, and they miss the whole point. It's like Prabhupada talking to the, I don't know what you'd call them, but the Bohemians living the hippie lifestyle, you could say. Or converting into the hippie lifestyle, is that Prabhupada is explaining from Gita the process of devotional service. Devotional service means you're conscious, you dovetail your consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness. Right? So your consciousness is manifest through interaction with, you know, objects outside of our ourselves. So now Arjuna's on the battlefield. So he, as a warrior, that's his occupation, would be engaging war in Krishna's service. So he would be conscious of God while he's performing his activities as a warrior. Right? So that's dovetailing. So, but these hippies couldn't appreciate the example, right? Vietnam War is there. They're worried about, you know, they want peace, you know. It's funny, they'll go out and riot and fight for peace. But, you know, to say that we shouldn't fight, you know, like that, whatever. But the element is that they couldn't appreciate the point because of the example, because they're too absorbed materially in this example. Right? You understand? But would Prabhupada change the topic? No, not at all. You know, he it's like, you know, we talk about being modern and up there. So, you know, being very assertive, being very, you know, how you say, in your face. You know, that's very modern. So Prabhupada was like that. You know, so it's just, the problem is that others who are not in your face, they have a problem with it. In other words, the losers. Like that. So, you look at it. Who jumps up and down the most about issues? Temples where nothing is going on. I'm not joking. The ones that are dynamic, things are happening, they're not worried about issues. They're too busy preaching and being Krishna conscious. There's a Bengali saying, Nai Kaj, Koi Bhaj. Naikaj means when you have nothing to do, koi bhaj. You cook and you make this double puffed rice, you know, koi. It's not muri. Muri has a little bit of weight to it. Koi has no weight. You know, like this, you can eat like this much of it. It's double puffed. It's like air. So what they're saying is that when you have nothing to do, make koi. When you cook it, it explodes. That's how it's like popcorn. It explodes. It looks like something's going on. You know, like that. It makes noise. There's a lot of volume and all that, but there's no substance to it. It's just like that. So that's the Bengali saying. Prabhupada would quote that quite often. So this whole process then means we have to see all these four. Right? That then we have a complete understanding of Sambandha. Right, the Sambandha itself is specifically, you know, the subject matter itself, the field of activities and that inspiration within that field. But that field of activities, the subject matter, also will include what is in overall the process and the purpose. Right? Like that. It'll include that. But here is being brought out so that it's very clear. In other words, what is the field? How to operate the field, what you can get from the field, that will all be described in Sambandha. But just so it's clear, is that what is the field, that's specifically the Sankarshan aspect. That is the Sambandha, you know, just what is the facts and figures of the subject. Then you're going to have, you know, how are you going to apply that and how that's going to deal with the knowledge of the Abhideya and the Prayojana. It's not the application and everything like that. Detail, that's another thing. Right? That is just showing that the process is there. The general concept of the process. So you see it properly in relationship. Otherwise you can't see yourself in relationship to the whole place. Right? You won't get a clear understanding. Because the Vedic concept is that action should be done with knowledge. Right? The chit potency, you know, sat chit ananda, chit is activity. So chit is knowledge. Chit means activity. Activity done with knowledge. Because Krishna never says just do your work. He always says do it with knowledge. Perform your duty with knowledge. He never says just have knowledge, do no work. Right? The two go together. You can't separate them. Chit means knowledge and activity. They're inseparable. Right? Because the senses, as we said, the senses function by knowledge. So if you're going to do an activity, the senses are what's involved. Right? Action means senses. So that means the intelligence must be working. But the mind has to, like we said before, have accepted it. Until the mind accepts it, then we're not going to move in this way. Right? So by the mind accepting it, that's why once it touches on that, then it'll come back and be engaged. It will be inspired. Because right? The mind is controlling the senses, actually engaging the senses. Right? That's why it's considered the 11th sense.
So it accepts something, you do. It rejects something, it doesn't do. So until you accept Krishna consciousness, and that starts with the spirit. The process of acceptance starts with the spirit. Because from the spirit comes, by contemplation, comes the purpose. If you're inspired to do it, then it's because it will get you some goal. Right? Then you can work. But to work, you have to have knowledge. So therefore, once you're inspired, then you want to know the knowledge by which then you can do the work that will get you that result. Right? But that constant element of being inspired must remain. That's what Prabhupada mentions. Leadership means being inspired. Prabhupada defines a leader. One who is inspired, consistently inspired, and who is able to inspire others. That's a leader. Notice the word management didn't even come into it. Right? Someone can be a leader and not be able to manage. Right? Management has nothing to do with it. If you can do that, then you can expand on doing those things. But a leader, he will inspire managers. They'll manage for him. He doesn't have to worry about it. Does that make sense? So inspiration is the driving force. So that's why then the spirit is the first thing. Right? Is this my, yes?
Maharaj, so it looks like Brahmins are inspiring, actually, and they are actually the leaders.
Brahmins are, means they're the catalyst in society, means the Brahmins have the knowledge, right? Because it means all these four, they know. Because others may get distracted because when you apply, you may get, you know, the saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. You're so absorbed in that practical application, you miss some points sometimes. So that's the importance of the Brahminical position. But the point is, the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are also leaders, natural leaders of society, in administration, in protection, and in economics. Right? You have to have those things if it's a greater society. As an individual, you only need the Brahminical culture and knowledge. Right? But as a society, then you require the Kshatriya and Vaishya occupations. Right? This Brahminical culture and Brahminical knowledge applied, you know, in economics and administration, then you can have a social system. Right? And then you even see within the artists that some are inspired in their area and inspire others. Someone's an inspired musician. So many others then come forward and they do something very special. Right? So music is happening and it becomes known. It's because somebody's inspired. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so you have things like that. You know, some little, like, you always hear about some little band of, you know, some old, you know, 70, 80 year old geezers that have been doing music at this one place for the last 50 years, you know, and stuff like that, you know. So it's just, everybody knows them because they just go out there and do it on their own. They're not supposed to be there. They just go down there and sit every day in the park and play music. And after a while it becomes a part of the establishment, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So people are able to do like that. So that's leadership. But specifically, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas are the natural leaders of society. Then within the common people, then there are leaders within there, naturally. You know, just like the parent is inspired, therefore then the family goes nicely. There's values in that family. They're inspired. You know, he was inspired from his father. So therefore then the children, they take that up and they take up those same values. You understand? So it's because of inspiration that people follow, not because of rules. Right? That's the thing. The punk kid does everything that his punk friends do. Why? Because of inspiration. Couldn't care less about the parents' rules. You understand? Why? Because the parent's not inspired. So why will the kid follow? It's for inspiration that you follow. Does that make sense? So when they were small, you know, to go out for some ice cream or, you know, do this and that, the parent could inspire them. But as they grow up, they're not able to do that. Right? So either learn to be inspired or find someone else who will inspire them other than their punk friends and see that they get trained there. Right? So that's the Vedic system. Is that the boys went to the Gurukul because there's only so much inspiration you can do at home to something that's unconscious, right? There's not a whole lot you can do with dead matter, right? So that's why it's sent off to the Gurukul like that, because the Gurukul knows how to make them conscious. Right? You know what I'm saying? Because boys think food happens automatically, right? It's just somehow or another, at this time, if you walk into the kitchen, there's food, right? You just open your drawer. Magically, all the clothes got picked up off the floor, washed, folded, and put into that drawer. Like that. Your bed just gets made by magic and something like that. You know, whatever it is, you know, does he go out to school and his mother, you know, sings out the window and all the birds and deers and everything come in and then picks everything nicely, or, you know, how it works and that, you know. That, you know, is not known and nobody cares. Like that. So that's the problem. So when they go to school and they figure out that the only way you eat is that if you cook, then it's quite a shock. It takes them a while to get adjusted to, generally years, actually. But eventually they figure it out. Like that. Same with washing clothes. Like that. You know, it's like that. Clothes get washed because you wash them. You know, you hang them up. You know, you don't forget where they are. You take them off the line. You fold them up. You put them in your locker. You know, your locker looks nice because you made it that way. You know, not that the, how you say, somehow or another, the quantumist formula of the Big Bang Theory doesn't work in your locker. You know, somehow or another. For most lockers, you definitely know that there is a quantum physicist, you know, residing there because of that Big Bang element. But, yeah, that's the thing. He says, you know, what is it? E equals MC squared, but they don't tell you that you'll be able to find anything. You know, so it's like that. You know it's there, but you know where. That's another thing. It's another topic. Okay. Does this make some sense? Yeah. So this is what it done. So the spirit of these four. So then it will actually be there. Then once that's understood, the purpose, what it can do, then you give the actual result. Because that will give the inspiration. That you know what the result is, so that means then one will want that, one will need that. Because only when you need something will you work for it. Does that make sense? You're interested in something, it doesn't mean you're going to work for it. Right? But you need it, you will work. You know what I'm saying? You walk down the street, and there's so many things in the window, right? And, you know, some of them are inspiring, but you keep on walking. When do you walk into the shop? When you need it. Right? That need doesn't mean that it actually is important in your life in the way of it actually is going to be of some use, you know, in a particular practical way of application, right? What it means is that you feel it's important in your life and you got to have it and you can't live without it. Therefore, you walk into the shop. You understand? So until prayojana is appreciated, until that platform is obtained, you don't work. So that's why the goal has to be, that's why the modern thing of goal orientation works. Because, yes, it's part of the process. You know? And then the spirit, we start with that, you know, you were born rich, you can be rich, rich dad, poor dad, all this, you know, mentality, you think you're poor, you will be poor, you think you're rich, you will be rich, you know, or the law of attraction, right, you know, you just think about it and be inspired by it, it will come. Why? Because if you think about something long enough, you become attached to it, and then you'll do it. So all these guys are talking about is our philosophy, but not so philosophically presented. Right? And guaranteed not one of them or one devotee who practices any of this would be able to explain it in this way. Because they don't connect it to our philosophy. You understand? So all it is they've just dealt with those things. Some will say, you know, okay, strategic plan, you have to make your plan, you have to things like this, that, know what the field is, you know, move through the things. So they'll touch on the first part and the third part, right? The main part of Sambandha, you know, the knowledge of Sambandha and the Abhideya. You know, they forget the sentiment part. You know, strategic plan. Remember, strategic planning is a system developed by the American Army, right? So it's for the armed forces. No sentiment. Just this is the situation. This is what we're going to do about it, right? Because if you know the situation, you do the activity, you will get the result. But what's left out of there is the inspiration. They're already inspired. They like to fight, you know, so they're looking for an opportunity. So here's an opportunity, so they're going to do it. That's left out of the equation. Therefore, it only works for some people. Right? And the other thing, get them inspired and all this. You get them inspired, they still can't do anything. Why? Because they have no knowledge. You know, or they can't apply it. But what all these things are working on is that somehow or another, you'll come in contact with one aspect of these four aspects that are Samandabhidaya and Prayojana. And if we emphasize at least one of them, like some of them do two, but if they emphasize one of them, the others will come. How they come, they don't know, because they don't know Samandabhidaya and Prayojana is the fundamental cosmic formula of the cosmic creation. They've just somehow observed this, somehow that it works. Does that make sense? So here, then we're supposed to be more than just sentimentally, okay, we know these things. We have to actually understand the science so we can apply it in our life. Then there'll always be inspiration. We'll be able to deal with anything. Otherwise, then what do you do when you're not inspired? What do you do if you don't know what's going on? You know what I'm saying? You have to be able to figure this out. So that's what the Gita is doing. How at all times, all places, all circumstances, you can always be inspired, know what you're doing, know where you're going. Or even if you don't, how to figure it out. That makes sense? Yeah? Okay. You had something? No. Okay, just okay. Okay, so then from Monday we'll start on the Bhagavad Gita. Actual the study of the Gita, so that will be first chapter. So those of you who would like to, you know more of what's going on, read the first chapter. You know, we'll be on that for I think some days. I'm not sure how long is here. This is going through quite a few pages, quite big. Yeah. Second chapter. Here we go. So basically 17 pages. Like that. So we'll be on a little bit of while. That's so we have the weekend and then like that. So we'll start on this. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainitai Gaura Premanandi.